Readings taken from Mark chapter 6, beginning to read from verse 30. Jesus feeds the 5,000. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it is already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take 8 months for a man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, "Five and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. Jesus walks on the water. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. When evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. About the 4th watch of the night, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately, he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. Amen.
And so this is the 5th sermon in the series in the Gospel of Mark, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And we're looking today, as we just had read for us, from the 6th chapter of Mark, verses 30 to 52. And the heading we've been given today is Hard Hearts. Now, whenever I have read the passage since I was a nipper, I've never thought of that as a heading. But I've managed to do it. So I hope we'll get something out of this, but we'll see. So it's a very, very well-known passage, isn't it? I wonder whether any of you sort of turned off a bit. Did you start thinking about lunch? I mean, if you've been at church since you were a nipper, someone did, or he said no, he didn't. Anyway, he's being very good. If you've been at Sunday school when you were a nipper, I mean, this was a staple of the Sunday school syllabus, wasn't it? I mean, feeding the 5,000, Jesus walks on the water. I mean, how many times have you heard it? Tens? Hundreds? I don't know. You may have heard several sermons on it, and you're thinking, I wish I could go back to that one. But just bear with me. Now, as I've said before, maybe not here, but in other places I've preached, there's an issue with that, isn't there? Because we can come to stories in the Bible, we can come to events that occurred, and we can think, oh, I've got that. Don't worry. Fine. Yeah, no, I'm all good. Thank you. And you'll wait 20, 25 minutes while this chap at the front drones on, and then we'll all be good. It's all okay. Well, what's strange about this is that God wants to say something to you every time you meet with him. That's what he's like. Don't ask me why. I come and talk to you because I'm asked to. Okay? But God wants to talk to you. He wants to commune with you. He knows exactly what each of you is going through, and he wants to talk to you. And we need to pray that God would show us something new, even in a story or stories that we've heard several times, many times. Something that we can apply in our walk with him today, tomorrow, and so on. As we said, the title for the sermon is Hard Hearts. And it's something that's actually written by Mark, did you notice, in the very last verse of the passage, verse 52. And what's even more interesting about this, how nicely it works out, I believe the key to this whole passage is a word that occurs in the very first verse of our passage, verse 30. But I'm not going to tell you yet, because at least till then you may stay listening to me. Now, interesting, the passage that I was actually given also includes verses 14 to 20. If you saw on the sort of notes for this morning, it says 14 to 52. And you know how long I normally go on for. So imagine if I'd also picked off the story of 14 to 29. Do you have you all got your Bibles open? Do you see what that story is? It's a terrible story. The story of John the Baptist's brutal execution. And what I find amazing is that story seems completely out of place. If you read chapter 6, 14 to 29, you're going, what has this got to do with the price of chips? It's very strange. And yet I think that Mark put it there for a very specific purpose. And we're going to find out that purpose today. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to turn our eyes upon Jesus. Help us to look full in his wonderful face. And things will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Heavenly Father, help us this morning to concentrate on Jesus. Try and leave all those things behind that are worrying us, that our minds are going 19 to the dozen on. Help us this morning, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So first we need a little bit of context. Now, as you will have already been told for the last 5 Sundays and found out if you've been here, the Gospel of Mark is a whirlwind. I mean, it's just amazing. There's only 16 chapters, but it is just a whirlwind of action. And you've probably had to strap yourself in to be able to keep up. And at the end of chapter 5, we've had 2 interlinked stories. One is the healing of the woman who'd been bleeding for 12 years, and the second is the bringing back to life of Jairus' daughter. And then at the start of chapter 6, we find Jesus in his hometown, which wasn't Nazareth, by the way. That was when he was very young. It's probably the city of Capernaum, or the town of Capernaum. And what he found there was an amazing lack of faith. Well, why was that? Well, you see, the people were, well, isn't this little Jesus who used to be running around? Isn't this Mary's son? We know his brothers. We know his sisters. Well, it's impossible that he could do such amazing things. And it says, can you believe it? They took offense at him. Almost, how dare he, that uppity upstart, as it were. And Jesus says in verse 4 of chapter 6, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home. Isn't that sad? And then in verses 6 to 13, Jesus sends out the 12 disciples in pairs. And he gave them authority. Now that's important. We're going to come back to that word, authority. And at the end of that passage, in verses 12 to 13, we hear their end of term report. So if you look at verse 12, they went out, that's the disciples, because they'd been sent out, and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. So you've got to understand the context of this. The stories we've had read to us are in the context of these 12 men, mostly uneducated. If one may have been able to count, Matthew the tax collector, the rest were fishermen. They could count fish, but that was it. They may not even have been able to read or write. And yet they've gone out and they've driven out demons and they've healed the sick. So have you got that in your minds now? And what's amazing is it's those very reports about Jesus and what he and his followers were doing that precipitates Mark telling us the story of Herod and John the Baptist's execution. But I'm going to come back to that later. And so we come to verse 30. We come to our passage today. Now I'm going to look at the last two verses first, because I believe that will help us. So here they are, verses 51 and 52. Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, Jesus had just been walking on the water. It's the first time it's ever happened, eh? Okay? And this person gets into the boat with them. The wind dies down. Okay? And they're amazed. Why does it say they were amazed? Well, according to Mark, it's not because Jesus had been walking on the water or because he'd got into the boat and the wind had died down. No, they were completely amazed. Why? For they had not understood about the loaves. Isn't that amazing? And that's why it's so important to look at the story of the miraculous feeding, because Mark says it's because the disciples, who had just driven out demons and healed people, it's because they didn't understand what had happened there that they were amazed at Jesus' actions. See, some of these things I've really struggled to explain, but that's what it says. See, I would have written, then he climbed into the boat with them and the wind died. They were completely amazed because he'd walked on water and the wind had died down. Their hearts were hardened. No. It's because they had not understood about the loaves. What had they not understood about the loaves? So, firstly, please forgive me that I'm not going to be able to pull everything out of this story, all the points, because it is just a phenomenal story. So back to verse 30. Remember this? The 12 are reporting back to Jesus what happened when they were sent out. And it says this: the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Now I want you to pick up two words from this passage. And like any good preacher, they both begin with A. Not P this time. P is the normal simple one. But it's A. Okay? Previously in verse 7, we had Jesus sending the 12 out and he was giving them authority. And here, what does he call them? Apostles. Authority and apostle. Now I'm going to come back to these two things, but I would love you to hold on to those two words as we go through the story. So, we have the situation here where Jesus, like any good boss, can see that his workers are tired and hungry, and he says, you need a break. Let's have a bit of R&R. So he says, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Wow, that's lovely, isn't it? That's a nice idea. And so they do so by boat. They go to what's called a solitary place, or what they thought was a solitary place. But what happens? Well, the people head them off at the pass, as it were, and they're waiting for them. Now, have you ever wondered why Jesus didn't say, right, let's just stay out on the lake, lads. We'll go somewhere else. Let's leave them there. I promised you a rest. Well, he doesn't. And Mark says in verse 34, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Now, the reference to like sheep without a shepherd would have been picked up by all people of a Jewish background reading this. They would have understood exactly what, we don't understand what that means, but they would have understood it. Ah, that's a reference to the Old Testament. That's a reference to God's people. To God's relationship with his people. You see, sheep are stupid. And if they're left to their own devices, it only spells trouble. And so the expression sheep without a shepherd is an expression of someone or a people or a group of people who are completely and utterly lost. Now, you know how the story unfolds, don't you? It gets late in the day. Don't know what late in the day means, but there we are. And as we saw previously, they are in a solitary place. I mean, they found them, but there's loads of people there, but they're in a solitary place. They're miles from anywhere. So that as Jesus is speaking, the disciples nudge him in the back. They sidle up to him and nudge him. And they go, this is a remote place. And it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. We don't want to disturb you. You're speaking. Your wonderful sermon. Well done, Jesus. But nudge, nudge. And then Jesus utters these great words. My goodness. You give them something to eat. I mean, isn't that fantastic? You give them something to eat. And then all of them, what do? I mean, I would get out my iPhone, because it's got a calculator on it, but they got out their pocket abacuses. Or is that abacai? I don't know. I wouldn't like to judge. And so what they're sat there going, 5,000 times one cheese bat at 52 shekels, and a packet of crisps at 23 shekels, divided by, and this is what they say. They say, that would take more than half a year's wages. Basically, are you mad? Pretty nice, but they're saying, are you mad? Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? I mean, it's a sensible question. It's the question you guys would ask. Yesterday, we're having a celebration. Right. Who's on cakes? Will you do cakes? You do sandwiches. You do quiche. You've got to have quiche. It's a Christian thing. Quiche. And so on. We've got to have all these things. You'd plan it, wouldn't you? And that's not wrong. Jesus asks a great question. And it's one which he asks you and me this morning. And it's one of the keys to the passage and to understand the whole concept of a hard heart. What have you got? This is what he asked them. How many loaves do you have? He asked. Go and see. And as we all know, it wasn't much, was it? 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, if your maths is good, bear with me. I used to be a maths teacher, so no talking at the back, please. 5 loaves divided by 5,000. That's just the men, but let's forget the others for now. That's 1/1,000th of a loaf each. So that's probably smaller than that. 1/1,000th of a loaf. Ah, but wait! We've got 2 fish. Well, 2 fish divided by 5,000. That's even worse. And Jesus said, okay, that'll do. What do you mean, okay? We've got 5,000 hungry men and you're going to give them... There's going to be a riot. So what happens? Verse 39. I love this. I don't know if you've ever noticed it. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. I've never understood that. Isn't that weird? Not everyone sit down. No, no, you've got to get into groups. I think it's amazing. Anyway, I don't know what it means, but I think it's just wonderful. It's just the ring of truth. It's what J.B. Phillips, when he was translating, giving his translation of the Bible, he said, he called it the ring of truth. If you were making this up, would you add that in? I mean, who cares if they were sat in groups, for goodness sake? And yet that's what happened. So that it's in the story. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. And the main word here in this section is the word satisfied. You see, these were people who were most probably very, very poor and were, as we say, below the breadline. And to say that these people were satisfied, they had eaten enough, is amazing. So, disciples, what's so difficult to understand about that story? In verse 52, as we read, it says, they had not understood about the loaves. Well, what's not to understand? Anyway, let's carry on and we'll come back to it. Well, what were the 2 A's? Can anyone remember the 2 A's? I've taken them down on purpose. Authority and apostles. Excellent. So Jesus says to his disciples, you go on ahead of me. This is how the story ends, sort of thing. And I'll meet you at Bethsaida. I'm going to dismiss the crowd. I'm going to say goodbye. And so they off they go. And he dismisses the crowd. And Jesus then goes up a mountain to pray. To commune with his Father God. And then the story says, later that night, and we know from another gospel that it's probably between 3 and 6 a.m. So probably pitch black. And it says the boat was in the middle of the lake. And he, Jesus, was on land. And yet he could see the disciples struggling to move because it says the wind was against them. I've lost page 6. Anyway, we'll have to see how we go. I think I'll try and get it up on my phone if that's okay with you. Because I tend to try and keep these things in order, I'm afraid. I apologize. And so he goes out to them. In fact, it says, strangely enough, did you notice? He was about to go past them. In this writing, in Mark, the others don't say that, but in Mark it says he was about to go past them. Now again, that's another Old Testament echo, but we really don't have time to go into that, so apologies. But the disciples see him, and they think it's a ghost. And they're terrified, and they cry out, it says. They scream. And the passage says, immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. And so we come to the last short part of the passage that I started with. They were completely at peace, for they had understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. Interestingly, the word it is I there is the word for God in the Old Testament. I am. It's exactly the same expression. So what can we learn from this passage that we know so well? Well, firstly, authority. Let me try and unpack this. Now, I'm now talking to those who have put their faith in Jesus. I'm not saying anyone who hasn't can't listen in. Of course you can. But I'm specifically talking to people who would say they have been saved by Jesus and are Christians, are believers. You're not your own. I am not my own. I have been bought. You have been bought by the blood of Christ. The day you came to Jesus, get this in your heads, you ceased to exist as you had been. The Bible says you are a new creation. Everything you do, everything you are, is only a function of Christ's authority. And so when you do something, whatever that is, your day-to-day job, your conversation with your friends or your neighbors or your family, everything is because of Christ's authority in your life. It's not you. The good you do is not you. It's Christ in you. The bad things that happen to you, guess what? That's God too. And I said I'd come back to it, didn't I? But I believe that's why Mark puts the story of John the Baptist's death here. Because if when you get home, you read the story of John the Baptist's death and you don't cry, I'll give you money. A great man of God. Why is he killed? Because a good-looking young girl lap dances with a king who is her uncle and his friends. Can you believe it? Everything, good or bad, is under Christ's authority. Now I wonder whether the disciples, let's go back to their little mission trip. I wonder where they had indeed done amazing things. I wonder whether they thought, good for me. How well I did. And so when it comes to the feeding of the 5,000, they thought, well, here's another chance. This is on us. And that's why they got their Abakai out. You see, if you're feeling like you can't do what you are being asked to do on your own, good. You can't. You're almost in more danger if I ask that question, can you do what God has asked you to do? And you go, yep. You're in more danger. You are Christ's. I am Christ, and it's only by his authority that we exist. What about a second day apostle? Times Mark uses this word in his gospel. 16 chapters. How many times does he use the word? That many? Once. He does not use that word again or previously in his gospel. He can use the word disciple, does not use the word apostle. Do you think that's a mistake? Of course not. He was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And he uses this word here to emphasize the point about authority. You see, the word apostle means one who is sent out. Now, can you see where I'm going here? Because it's not the one who is sent out that is important here. What is important, who is important, is the one who is doing the sending. I am unimportant. You are unimportant. Sorry for the news bomb. In and of ourselves, we are unimportant. But the one who sends you, the one who sends me, is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's who sends us. And when we forget that and think that we are enough, that we are important, we completely miss the point. And so this morning, the two A's. You are an apostle. Small A, mind. Not big A, not capital A. Small A. Some of you will understand what I'm talking about there. You are an apostle. You are sent by the King. And when you go in his authority, not yours, you will accomplish what he wishes you to do. And so my last question, I'm finished now. One question I'd ask you this morning. It's a question that Jesus asked 2,000 years ago. How many loaves do you have? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are the one who sends us. You are the one who gives us authority. Heavenly Father, forgive me when I think I can do anything in my own strength. Forgive me when my job and things at home get on top of me, and it happens because I have forgotten that you are the one who sends me. Forgive me when I look at 5,000 men crying out for food, and I look at my fridge and I've got 5 loaves and 2 fish, and I think, God, I can't do this. Lord, help us always to look to you. Help us always to understand that it is by your authority and in your name that we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.